It's March, first Sunday of the month. So our program, if you're joining us for the first time, our program's a little bit different. And we shorten up the sermon a little bit. We call it the world famous, highly anticipated 5-minute sermon. Used to be 3 minutes, but Barry complained so much because of the lack of content, so we expanded it. So now it's got some content, a little bit, not too much, a little bit. Still known for its brevity, and we keep it kind of short. It's no more than 5 minutes long. I should have mentioned also, we have somebody joining us this morning who's been missing for a couple of weeks. Young daughter, Grace Schober, sitting right there in the back. We wheeled her in. We appreciate the people who put that elevator in years ago. Thanks for doing that. And Grace, good to see you. You're looking good. Thanks for, she was anxious to get back, I tell you that. She wanted to get back to church. And she wanted to get back last week. I said, you're not coming back. Yeah, not yet. Yeah, so we got her here this week. So thanks for being here, Grace. It's good to see you. And good to see everybody else, too. I know, Bobby, you were a little under the weather. You're looking a little bit better. You got the stuff out, right? And you're looking good. Good to see Bobby and everybody else. But we're going to do the world-famous, highly anticipated 5-minute sermon. It won't last longer than 5 minutes, almost exactly 5 minutes. You can time it if you want to. But Kurt, before you start your timer, I just wanted to remind everybody that today is known as Transfiguration Sunday. Did you know that? We didn't have that printed on the program. We probably should have. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. Now, this day commemorates Jesus' transformation on a mountaintop in the presence of three of his disciples, John, James, and Peter. We're along with them. Now, we heard about this in our gospel reading today from Linda. And this was a very pivotal moment in the history of the church and the early life of Jesus. There's a lot of symbolism in this event. In the story, we hear that Jesus physically changed. His appearance changed. Even his clothing changed. His face changed, his clothing changed, they became as bright as lightning, the story said. And this was a revelation to the world, to the entire world, through the three disciples, of the spiritual glory of this earthly physical man. Jesus was not just a physical man, he was God. He was a spiritual God. In one. And then two others appeared along with him. Who were they? Moses and Elijah, James' favorite prophet. Moses and Elijah. And this was a revelation that Jesus was the fulfillment of the law as represented by Moses, and also the fulfillment of all the Old Testament ancient prophecies as represented by Elijah. Well, again, very, very symbolic, the whole event. And then, in absolute culmination of this great event, and as a kind of a sequel of sorts to the baptism of Jesus that we heard about not too long ago, two others appeared on the scene. The Holy Spirit covered them all in a cloud. And then the Father, God the Father, spoke out loud. And God the Father spoke directly to the three disciples and through them to all of us with one simple proclamation. He said this. He said, "This is my Son. Listen to him." And this is the only time, as far as I know, other than the baptism of Jesus, remember that took place in the Jordan River, when the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, pierced the physical veil together at one time in the presence of human beings. There they were, all three of them together. And that completed the story of the transfiguration of Jesus, which we commemorate this Sunday. But I wanted to take just a couple minutes, no more than five, to point out something else about this story that may be a minor point, but may also be a worthwhile lesson for us that's easy to kind of overlook. Okay? Start your timer. All right, let me start by saying this. Jesus obviously sees a lot of value in getting together in groups, right? To pray and to worship. He sees it. There are many examples in the Gospels of him, you know, preaching and praying with large crowds. You know, just think of the Sermon on the Mount or the time when they had to feed 5,000 people. At least, right? Even after his resurrection, our own St. Paul said he gathered at one time in one place with over 500 people. Yeah? And of course, Jesus famously encouraged us to gather together, like we are doing this morning, to worship. In Matthew 18, verse 20, Jesus said that whenever two or more of you gather in his name, he'll be right there with us. That was a promise that he made. He's here with us right now. Jesus wanted us to pray and worship and do Bible studies, right, together. Yeah. In addition to that, we often say, and I believe, that it's good to pray anytime, anywhere. Driving in the car, you know, taking a shower. Anywhere. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, our own St. Paul, he tells us to pray without ceasing. And in Romans 12:12, he says we should be in constant prayer. Do we accomplish that? No, probably not. Yeah, but it's a good encouragement. I certainly believe we are invited and encouraged to, you know, shout to the Lord at any time and in any place. But there is also another different aspect of prayer, worship, meditation, that I think we should be careful not to overlook. And it's demonstrated today in the story of the Transfiguration. Now think of it. It's clearly stated, but it's easy to gloss over in verse 28. Jesus went up onto a high mountain to pray. That's what it says. Now picture that and ponder it. And he didn't drive a pickup truck up there, right? He didn't even ride a horse. He hiked up there. Jesus hiked up onto a high mountain to pray. The only reason given. Now most people think it was Mount Tabor. There's some other theories. It's not specified. Most people think it was Mount Tabor, which is about 2,000 feet high. Now, by way of comparison, can you picture the Ephrata Mountain? You got to picture the Ephrata Mountain, more of a hill, really, right? We always call it the Ephrata Mountain. We're the Ephrata Mountaineers, right? The Ephrata Mountain, from base to highest point, about 400, not even 400 feet. Yeah? Mount Tabor is 2,000 feet, five times higher, pretty high. It's a pretty good climb. Jesus climbed and hiked to the top of Mount Tabor, it says, to pray. Jesus saw the value, the importance of sometimes getting away from the crowd and going to a nice quiet place to be alone. We remember later when he retreats to the Garden of Gethsemane, right? How can we forget? And we remember also that Jesus told us to find a quiet place to pray. In Matthew 6, verse 6, he said to go in your room and close the door. Remember? Just go in your room and close the door. Don't make a big thing out of it. So for today, let that be our simple lesson. A reminder from Jesus. Yes, please continue to gather in his name. He will be right here with us, always. Always. But also, now and then, find a quiet place and separate yourself from the crowd. Whether it's out in nature or in your room. No noise, no phone, no social media. Just some time alone with you and Jesus.